What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks. In 2023, post the 2020 rebellions in response to the murder of George Floyd, law enforcement in this country killed the highest number of people on record, 1,152 folks. So far in 2024, law enforcement has already murdered 178 people. That's an increase of 127 people since our last roundup just under a month ago. And we don't even know most of their names. There were no marches, rallies, rebellions, or hashtags for them. Most of their families grieved in silence and solitude. Police murders are just the tip of an egregious iceberg of transgressions against our people. Law enforcement serves as a militarized occupying army in our communities and neighborhoods. They racially profile, sexually assault, and wrongfully incarcerate our folks. If we don't know what's happening, then we can't fight back. We can't adequately organize a response. So Law and Disorder is committed to providing regular Thursday roundups of news related to state violence. We hope this segment serves to expose, agitate, and build. This is the State Terror Roundup for the week of March 11th, 2024. On December 26, 2020, Maria Quinto Collins, the mother of Angelo Quinto, called the Antioch Police Department because her son, unarmed and a Navy veteran, was having a mental health crisis. But as far too often happens, in fact, upwards as often as 25% in all police responses to mental health crisis, instead of helping him, they killed him after kneeling on his back for 5 minutes. Since that time, the Quinto family has fought for justice, not just for their son, but for all families who have lost loved ones to state violence, and in prayers that it will never happen again. That, in fact, is the prayer of every family member I have worked with after 15 years of doing this work. The Quinto family's legislative work has ushered in policy wins like the banning of the term excited delirium as a justifiable cause of death by law enforcement. It should be noted that medical professionals have long called excited delirium junk science, and advocates for years have pushed back on that as the cause of death, when in reality, law enforcement has just tased someone to death or placed them inside of a wrap device while in an excited state and against the wrap device manufacturer's recommendation. The Angelo Quinto Act also bans any and all restraints that can lead to asphyxiation, and I supported the Miles Hall Law, which led to the creation of 988. Angelo's murder also led to the creation of a mobile mental health crisis response unit in Antioch. This past Sunday, the Quinto family, along with other impacted family members and community, celebrated what would have been his 34th birthday with renewed calls for justice. Of course, the only true justice would be Angelo back with his family. Source, me and the Anti-Police Terror Project. Governor Gavin Newsom signed 8 reform bills that year, mimicking a trend across the nation. The 2020 uprisings, along with nationwide calls to defund, brought forth many pieces of legislation to reform law enforcement. Now, in a national wave of fear-mongering colliding with the real impacts of the economic pandemic that came hot on the heels of the coronavirus pandemic, has seen a rollback of those progressive gains. For instance, after the murder of Tyree Nichols in January of 2023, the city passed the Tyree Nichols Driving Equality Act, barring officers from conducting certain traffic stops for low-level violations, among other measures. But now state lawmakers are advancing legislation that would nullify the Memphis law. The moves being made by the Memphis legislature are part of a groundswell of legislative and voter pushback against reforms initiated over the past 4 years after the police murders of Black Americans, including Nichols, Breonna Taylor, and George Floyd, resulting in large-scale protests and rebellions around the world that translated into hundreds of bills aimed at curtailing law enforcement powers and reshaping how police do their jobs. In some cases, lawmakers and voters now say those changes need to be fine-tuned to work well. In others, they are trying to address the community backlash at measures that have been labeled anti-police, as well as a perception, an erroneous perception, by the by, that crime has worsened while police have been hamstrung by policy changes. Backlash generated by the right wing to create doom loops in progressive cities or roll back progressive legislation as a tool to build a voter base as we barrel towards the next presidential elections. Florida lawmakers are considering a bill that would ban civilian-run police review boards. Louisiana legislators voted in favor of a law that would make it harder to sue police officers. Cities in Portland, Oregon, and Los Angeles have restored police funding that was cut after Floyd was murdered. Governor Katie Hochul of New York said last week she would send the National Guard underground to help police with random searches of writers' bags. San Francisco voters last week approved loosening the rules around police surveillance and allowing officers to pursue suspects in their cars, even for some misdemeanor violations. And in Washington, D.C., lawmakers passed a massive public safety bill that increases punishments for a range of crimes and adjusts or walks back accountability measures that address police transparency and rules for neck restraints and vehicular pursuits. It's almost like we have time travel to 1994, y'all. But the worst thing about all of this is that none of these repeals have anything to do with increasing public safety. The doom loop promoters, including those right here in Oakland where I live, want you to believe that it is the election of progressive electeds and the passage of progressive policies that got us here. But the truth is, very few of those policies passed, and the ones that did were repealed before implementation. What is also true is that things will not get better as long as we continue to throw good money after bad and invest in the failed system of American policing more than we invest in housing, education, healthcare, trauma supports, living wage, job training, and placement and cleaning up our environment. And as long as we are doing that, our people will continue to suffer, engage in survival crimes, and express their trauma through violence and substance abuse. The truth is, these people don't care about us or our communities and are just fine with the idea of us destroying ourselves, communities, and each other. And they know that they are fast-tracking us to do just that. Source, Robert Klemko, Emily Davies, and Tom Jackman of The Washington Post. Several hundred Serbian LGBTQ activists and their supporters protested in central Belgrade against alleged police brutality on March 6th following reports of abuse against two LGBTQ persons and what demonstrators say was official inaction in the incident. Participants in the protest, dubbed We Will Not Be Silent, called for the criminal prosecution of police officers for what they say was abuse, torture, and sexual harassment in the February 26th incident, as well as quicker sanctioning of police officers who commit violence. Organizers from the To Be Clear rights group also called on authorities in Serbia to condemn violence against the LGBTQ community. Activists charged that police officers abused these two people during a search of an apartment in Belgrade that was suspected of having drugs. They said it was the most severe case they have seen so far, adding that the two people affected suffered physical injuries and psychological trauma. Following the incident, police officials said they were investigating a complaint regarding the police officer's work and were, quote-unquote, determining the truthfulness of the allegation. The International Human Rights Organization, Human Rights Watch, warned in its report published at the beginning of the year that LGBTQ people in Serbia face intolerance, threats, and violence. The To Be Clear group, which provides legal and psychological support to LGBTQ people in Serbia, documented more than 80 cases of violence and discrimination against members of that community during 2023. Source, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. And more on a story we've been covering for quite some time now. On Monday, the FBI raided the women's prison in Dublin, California, seizing computers and documents. The FBI didn't say why they are searching the facility, but this location has been the center of an ongoing investigation in sexual abuse and misconduct from prison staff. The FBI said they were conducting quote-unquote court-authorized law enforcement activity, but wouldn't provide any more details. The Federal Bureau of Prisons confirmed there is a new warden. This is the second warden to be ousted in charge. Investigators have been looking into years of sexual abuse against inmates. At least 8 employees, including a former warden and chaplain, have been charged with sexually abusing them. 5 pleaded guilty and 2 more were convicted at trial. According to Susan Beatty, a lawyer representing some of the survivors during the criminal cases, they've seen a pattern of guards intentionally targeting immigrant women, presuming that those women would then be deported once they are released from prison, and that would make it harder to hold them accountable. Beatty wants outside oversight of the facility going forward. She also believes mental health care support to be available for the victims. Representative Jackie Spears' office have been examining the misconduct allegations. In her last few months of office, she and Representative Eric Swalwell went to the prison, but the prison denied them visits. They referred to it as a rape club, said former U.S. Representative Spear. Shapiro, with the Coalition for Women's Prisoners, says she spoke with survivors who said they endured horrifying conditions. Monday's law enforcement activity is the latest cloud over FCI Dublin. An AP investigation in 2021 found a culture of abuse and cover-ups that have persisted for years at the prison. That reporting led to increased scrutiny from Congress and pledges from the Federal Bureau of Prisons that said it would fix the problems and change the culture at the prison. The only thing that's going to fix the culture is to shut it down. Source, ABC7, the Associated Press, Michael R. Sisick, and Markel Balsamo also contributed to the report. An LAPD officer was arrested Tuesday for domestic violence in Santa Clarita. Sheriffs responded to a home where they had a warrant for Shea Vandeveer, who was being held on $50,000 bail. He was arrested for the same thing in 2023, but not prosecuted as a felony. LAPD says they are preparing a statement. Y'all, law enforcement officers have massive rates of spousal abuse. It seems like it just goes with the job. Source, KCAL News. a 15-year-old Apple Valley South, a 15-year-old Apple Valley youth wielding a garden tool was shot and killed Saturday by a San Bernardino County Sheriff's deputy. The officer confronted Gaynor after being summoned by a 911 call on Saturday afternoon to a house. The teen allegedly was assaulting family members. After being shot, Gaynor, the 15-year-old child, was transported by ambulance to a local hospital where he later died. Police body camera footage released to Victor Valley News shows a deputy approaching the open door of the family home when the youth came out of the house with a long object raised toward the officer. Get back, or you're going to get shot, the deputy shouts as he moves quickly backward. The footage switches to that of a second officer that shows the officer retreating, one arm raised with his gun pointed at Gaynor. The deputy who fired on the youth was not named. I watched the video, my people. I do not suggest you do the same. There's so much to say here. Access to mental health treatment for our youth, the need for actual de-escalation experts to be sent to these situations instead of cops, the fact that the only thing police are trained to do in these kinds of incidents is to shoot to kill. But mostly, I just wish this family had had access to a different number to call. And I bet you, I am sure that as they sit with the grief of losing their loved one, a 15-year-old child, that they do too. Source, Paige St. John, The Los Angeles Times. This has been the State Terror Roundup for the week of March 11th, 2024. State Terror Roundup soundtrack provided by Coffee Brown, an Oakland musician, singer, and songwriter who's been a force of the Bay Area's hip-hop and soul scene since the early 1990s. You can check her out at kofybrown.com, and her website and socials are linked from our site at kpfa.org. A shout-out to my producer, Jesse Strauss, who helps me curate the content for these segments. You've been listening to Law & Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law & Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.